Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Over the past couple of weeks, you would have heard some incredible messages. We heard an amazing message from Pastor Chrissy Lee, our senior pastor, a couple of weeks back, who was here for that message about becoming a people of prayer. I was so incredibly impacted by that. I hope you were too. Thanks, Conan. And last week, you would have heard from Mark about what it means to live beyond the encounter. Incredible messages, and I encourage you to listen to them again on our website and get more of that into your spirit. Dwell on what they shared with you. But today I want to continue the conversation that we've been having about faith, but the conversation that we've been having about encountering Jesus and what that means for our lives. And so if you're here for the first time, or maybe you've just, maybe it's been a little while since you've been in the house, here at Nations Church, we love the presence of God. We are about encountering Jesus. We value the work that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives. We desire to have those encounters with Him. We hunger after Him. We use that word hunger. We use that word thirst, because we know that as we encounter Jesus, that there are incredible things that He does in us, that there are incredible things that He does through us. And so every year around this time, as the weather cools down, we start to turn up the heat in our pursuit of Jesus. We start to turn up the heat in our desire to encounter Him and what we do in order to do that. You see, the relationship we have with Jesus is not one merely of having a head knowledge about Him, but it's one of experiencing Him. Like Mark shared last week, if you're a relationship with someone and you only ever have a head knowledge about them, but you've never spent time with them, you've never experienced them, then your relationship with that person is limited, right? It's like those people that have friended you on Facebook, but you've never met them. They're not actually your friends, right? Hate to break that to you. It's just like that. We can't go deep in relationship with somebody if we've never experienced them. The Bible tells us that we know in part, and when the perfect comes, then we will know in full. When it says the perfect, it's talking about Jesus. And so we know that when it comes to knowing or experiencing God, none of us have arrived. None of us have got this down pat. But you need to know that our senior pastors, Ken and Chrissy Lee, it's their heart for you. It's Mark and my heart for you, that over this encounter season, as you put some things aside and you devote yourself to fast and pray, that as you attend church, as you go to connect groups and prayer meetings, as you go to conference in 2 weeks' time, that as you open yourself up to the presence of God, as you open yourself up, you put yourself in the room, you put yourself amongst people of faith, that God will speak, that God will move, and you'll find a depth and experience of the presence of God, a knowing of Him and what He says about you like you've never had before. That's what we pray for you over this season. So come on, right now, I just want to invite you to stand to your feet across this place. We're just going to take a moment to pray before we go further into the Word. Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just lift up every person in this room today. We pray, Lord, that there would be such a strong sense of encounter in this room. We invite you to come. Holy Spirit, we know that you're always here, but we invite you to come with that tangible sense of your presence, of your anointing, that every heart would be open to receive what you want to speak to them today, what you want to do in them today. Come and have your way in every person in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, come on. Why don't we give God praise in this moment? Such an incredible sense of His presence in the house right now. Amazing. Why don't you tell someone next to you how good looking they are as you take your seat? And that person on the other side of you that you didn't say that to, maybe you need to say that to them as well. Awesome. Really good. Well, today we're going to read a short account from the life of Isaac. Isaac, we know from the Old Testament, he's the son of Abraham. And Abraham, we know, was the father of the Israelite nation, God's people to whom God had promised that his descendants would outnumber the stars. And in this part of history that we're going to, the Israelites were a tribal nomadic people. Abraham had passed away by this time, and Isaac and his people were living this nomadic life in the ancient Middle East. I'm going to pick this up from Genesis 26. It says, "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Isaac called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land.'" So we see here Isaac and his people reestablishing the wells that Abraham had dug many years before. In biblical times, wells were crucial. There was no water corporation. There was no system to send water to people. And so the groundwater, the water that existed under the surface, was accessed, and life was sustained by the digging of wells. Wells were a source of life for communities, for families, for livestock. They were a place where people would gather. They were central to life, and they were life-giving. In the ancient Middle East, if you didn't have access to a functioning well, your long-term survival was seriously jeopardized. It was an act of aggression of an opposing tribe to stop up your well, just as the Philistines had done to Abraham's well after his death. They'd taken earth and soil from around the well, and they'd thrown it in there and filled it, blocking the flow of water. And when you blocked that flow of water, you literally blocked the source of life for the people in that region and seriously restricted their potential to live and continue to live in that area anymore. So this was a serious act of aggression, to block somebody's well. So as Isaac and his servants returned to this land where Abraham had once lived, they set about to dig these wells that Abraham had established. They removed the restriction from the flow of the water so that the water now could spring up again in those wells and they could once again be a source of life. In Scripture, the water that comes from a spring underground, water that springs up and is flowing, is also known as living water. And if you've read your Bible a little over the Old and New Testament, you will have heard or read that term being used. It's used metaphorically. And the scholars say that when that term is used, that what they're trying to say by that term is that speaks of the knowledge of God and His grace, which provides cleansing, which provides spiritual life, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Jesus spoke of this living water directly a number of times throughout his ministry. In John 7, he said this. It records this thing that he said on the last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What you need to know if you're a believer in this place today is that this living water resides inside of you, that you are a figurative well where the springs of this living water bubbles up inside you, that you have access to the water that is the move of the Spirit of God. We know that about a third of the world's water is actually stored underground, actually exists under the ground in the unseen areas of the world. And we can tap into that unseen by digging a well, by digging into that groundwater and allowing it to be released and to flow. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, that you are a well that the living water of God can spring up in, that his Holy Spirit desires to move in. Even when we read scripture, we see this example of the Spirit of God and how he resides in his people. In Romans 6, it says, "The Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you." In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote that we do not have a spirit of fear, but we have the Holy Spirit, a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. This is the Spirit that we have living in us. When you are a believer, you are like those wells that Isaac dug. You are a conduit for the living water. You are a place where the Holy Spirit wants to bubble up. And what I want to submit to you today is that like the wells that Isaac unblocked, we too can find that the flow of the living water in us, the flow of that living water or our experience of the Holy Spirit can too be restricted. It can be restricted by the dirt and the rubbish and all of those things that come into our hearts, into our lives, as a result of the experiences that we have in the world, as a result of our brokenness and our misconceptions and our incorrect mindsets and our wrongdoing, that we can find ourselves being restricted in our experience of the Holy Spirit. And like the groundwater that flows beneath the earth, though that living water is always there and that Holy Spirit is always available to us, we can find those things begin to restrict our experience of him and restrict our availability to him. We know that no matter what happens in our lives, in our world, that the Holy Spirit is all that Scripture says that he is. He is the Spirit of God. He is the resurrection power. The dirt that comes into our wells doesn't change who he is or his love for us or the power that he carries. None of that is changed by our brokenness or our misconceptions. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. However, the dirt in our lives does restrict our awareness of him and the flow of his living water in us. When we talk about coming into the more that God has for us, you hear us say that often in church, right? We want to step into the more that God has for us. We want to experience the more that God has for us. But when we talk about that, we're not talking about God being more or God doing more or being more than he is. He doesn't need help from us to be more, right? He doesn't need help from us to do more or move more. God is complete and whole and perfect and holy and fully able to move powerfully in our lives. When we talk about coming into the more that God has for us, we're talking about his living water flowing more freely in our lives. We're talking about the freedom that we experience when we come into his presence and we have those things that have been blocking our wells lifted off our lives. We have those misconceptions and those sins and those doubts and those fears lifted and removed. And we become more aware of his presence in those moments. We become more available for him to move in us and move through us. And so it is in this releasing of the flow of living water that we see the more that God has for us. You see, where there is freedom, where that will of that living water is able to spring up. Instead of our lives being small and constricted, our lives become like that well where the water flows freely. We read how Isaac found that place where they dug that well, and it was called Rehoboth because God had given them room to move, because God had given them more. And as we step into that place of freedom, there is that sense of having more room for God to move in our lives because we've removed the blockage. We've released that flow of the living water, and it's able to flow freely in us. And so today I want to speak to you about this idea of releasing the flow, releasing the flow. You know, as I came into this role as a campus pastor nearly over 7 years ago now, I remember stepping into it with great excitement in the moment that I was invited into this space and saying yes to it. But then as the days and the weeks begin to play out, the realization of the weight of what God had called me into and the weight of what the leadership looked like in that space began to become more aware of that. I sensed such an overwhelming sense of being vulnerable and raw, and all of the insecurities and doubts and fears and things that I carried in me coming to the surface. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that kind of thing before, perhaps when you've started a new job or you've moved to a new area or even come into a new church, we can start to feel that way. All of our insecurities and our fears, all of those sorts of things begin to become very real. And I remember walking into this staff meeting that we have. We have these staff meetings once a month where we all gather together, all the staff from Nations Church, and we worship and we listen to a message from Pastor Ken and get encouraged in our leadership. And I remember walking into one of those meetings, and as I did that, all those insecurities were coming to the surface. It was almost like they were screaming at me, "You don't belong here. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't step into this space." And as I experienced that, I just continued to walk in. You know, I just smiled and said hello to everybody. But this was happening on the inside of me. And I remember in that moment standing at the front in worship and God beginning to speak to me and God beginning to show me that he was going to lift some things off my life. Almost saw like this vacuum cleaner coming and just beginning to suck away all of the things in my life that were blocking the flow of the Holy Spirit in me. And I am still on that journey, let me tell you right now. But as I've continued to do that, as God has begun to bring more and more freedom to my life, I've encountered more and more of a depth of relationship in him. And that's what can happen in us as we allow God to remove the dirt and the blockages from our lives, so that that free flow, that release the flow of the Holy Spirit in us, so that no longer will those doubts and fears, those things we've believed about ourselves that are not true, continue to restrict us from fully experiencing the more that God has for us. You see, I'd believed some truths about myself that were restricting the flow of God in my life and keeping it small. But coming to know God's truth threw that dirt out. It was almost like, you know, like I said, a vacuum cleaner. It just came and removed that dirt from my life that was stopping up my well and released the flow of the living water in me and brought me into a new and greater freedom in him. We know that in John 8:32, Jesus said this. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, we all hold beliefs and we hold to ideologies and things that are true to us, things that impact the way we do life and the way we connect with others and the way we connect to God. We all hold to some form of truth. And what I want to ask you today is this: does the truth you believe set you free? Does the truth that you believe restrict or place limitations upon the flow of living water of the Holy Spirit in your life? Or is it bringing you into that Rehoboth place where there is room for that living water to flow and bring fruitfulness to you? And I'm not talking about what we say we believe when we're around our Christian friends. I'm talking about what we really believe. I'm talking about the truths that you say to yourself. What does your internal voice declare in you to be true? We might quote John 3:16 and say, Jesus loves me, but the truth is we declare to ourselves internally that we're useless and unworthy and not enough and no good. We might say, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but when we feel that call of God to step into something or try something new, that internal voice declares a different truth, that you can't do it, that you haven't got what it takes, that you don't belong. We might know there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ, but we believe the truth that our negative past experiences still define us. We might know that we're a new creation in Christ, but the truth we actually believe is that we will always be anxious, depressed, stressed, and worried. But Jesus said this. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is truth. Our postmodern world, our whatever we are now world, will tell us that truth is subjective. It will tell us that truth is defined by the stakeholder of that truth. But that is not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that Jesus is truth and that he is actually truth personified. Whatever you believe to be true that cannot be found in the person of Jesus is not truth. Let me say that again. Whatever you believe to be true that is not found in the person of Jesus is not truth. It is a counterfeit and it is a lie with an intention to draw you away from the plan and the purpose he has for your life. His purpose for you today is for you to experience the truth of who he is and who he says you are. And for you to be free of those things that restrict the flow of the living water in your life and release that flow of the Holy Spirit so you can see him move in you, so you can see him take you to a greater depth of relationship in with him. Now, you can hear what I'm saying and think, yeah, that's great, Mel, but you know, I'm doing all right. I've got a great job. I've passed my exams. The family's doing great. The kids are getting A's. The significant other is happy. But you know the best way to tell if living water is flowing in a well is to not look at the outside. A well can look amazing. It can have the latest design. It can have a beautiful garden around it. But the only way to know is if living water is flowing in a well is to drop a bucket into the well and scoop out what is on the inside. We can try all we like to release the flow by focusing on the external things. We can get busy making ourselves look good. We can tick all the boxes. We can buy all the latest and greatest. We can have that perfect family and go on those great holidays. We can have an Instagram-worthy, newsfeed, pretty kind of life, and it can all look really good on the outside. And that's great, that's okay. Those things are all okay, but what happens when you reach for that living water? Perhaps when you drop the bucket in, it feels a little bit dry, a little bit stagnant. Perhaps your well needs some new life. Perhaps for you in this season, it's time for you to tend to your well. Perhaps it's time to start removing the dirt and removing the blockages to release that flow. You see, if you were to go out like Isaac and his men did and begin to dig out a well, you'd find that it takes some effort. It takes some effort to dig out a well. It's something that you have to be intentional about. It's something you have to determine and set yourself to do. It takes action. It takes persistence to keep digging until you start to see that water flow. So perhaps for you in this season, if you are finding that as you drop the bucket into that well, that you're hitting a dry ground, perhaps as you in this season that you're dropping that bucket in and the water is stagnant, the water is not good, then perhaps for you it's time to start setting aside some moments in your day and giving Jesus your attention. Perhaps time for you to start taking the effort to read his word, even if it's just one verse a day. Perhaps it's time to pray. Perhaps it's time for you to forgo some things and fast until you see a breakthrough. Perhaps it's time for you to get to Connect Group or come to the prayer meeting or spend time, put yourself in an atmosphere of faith. So often we can look around and blame the external circumstances of our lives, the world around us, our difficulties, our pressures, our stresses on the condition of our well. But we all know this, God is not changed by our circumstances. God is not shifted by the fact that your life is all topsy-turvy right now. God is not worried about the fact that it feels out of control. He's not going, oh no, what will I do? God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God has your future in his hands. And we know that Moses encountered God at the Red Sea when he was hemmed in by his enemies. We know that Daniel and his friends encountered God in the fire. We know that Paul and Silas experienced God in the prison cell. Your circumstances will not restrict the power of God to move in your life. The condition of your well will. The flow of the Holy Spirit is not dependent on your circumstances or your external world. It is dependent on the state of your well. So can I say to you today, it's time. It's time to remove the dirt of negative past experiences. It's time to remove those false beliefs and reveal the living water that is flowing just beneath the surface. It's time to remove what is stopping up that well and to release the flow of God in your life. Now, I want to take a moment to speak about one of the things that can block up our wells. One of those things I want to speak in today is sin. And you know what? We often avoid speaking into this stuff because we get a little bit uncomfortable. We get a little bit uneasy. But I want to preface this by saying none of us have arrived. None of us are hitting the mark. Scripture says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And one of the things I love about this church is that we value authenticity. We value that everyone is on a journey of discovering what it means to live a life of faith in Jesus. That we are intentional about doing that journey together and doing it honestly and without condemnation or fear of judgment. So today, as I speak into this, I share it from that perspective, that Jesus is desiring to do a work in every single one of us, to free us from the power of sin and to release us into all that he has for us. The Apostle Paul writes two letters in the Bible to the Corinthian people. He loved the Corinthian people and he encourages them in these letters, but he also corrects them. And he points them towards the kind of life that they could find in Jesus. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 6, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." One of the main issues faced by the Corinthian church at that time was an unwillingness to separate themselves from the old ways, from the old selfish, immoral, and pagan ways that they had traditionally lived in. Paul made this statement earlier on in this chapter before he said this, about the impact of the Corinthians' love for their ungodly lifestyle. He said this, "You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections." You see, they loved Jesus and they came into relationship with him, but they still loved some of their old life and they continued to hang on to their old life. Sometimes we can think that when we step into relationship with Jesus, that we can just add him to our life, that nothing needs to change, that nothing needs to shift. So we love Jesus and we follow him, but we continue to hold on to that sin. We continue to allow that bad habit to wreck our relationships or perhaps our bodies. We continue to get involved in that stuff, in those old, the same kinds of conversations, and we avoid that thing that we know God is calling us to do. We just add him to what our life had always been like. But Paul reminds us that we're called to be temples of the living God, that God desires to dwell in us and amongst us, that your heavenly Father, the Holy One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, he desires to take up residence in your life and have his Holy Spirit, his living water, flow through you. And he doesn't want for anything to restrict that. He doesn't want anything to hold that back. And so as Paul shares this with us in 2 Corinthians, he also points us to a promise. He uses this phrase about a people who have separated themselves from what's unclean. And he says, I will receive you. This phrase only appears once in the Bible in that scripture. It's the only time it's used. And the original Greek means to receive or to welcome in a personal way. It means to receive somebody or something into your life deeply. This is the promise to you today, that there is a depth in your relationship with God that is available to you as you turn away from sin and you embrace him and his ways for you. Notice that in that scripture, there is no condemnation in God's response to the people who've turned away from sin and now turned to God. That there's no condemnation. You see, God's not waiting to judge you. God's not waiting to condemn you, to be disappointed or ashamed of you. Rather, he is waiting to receive you. And as he receives you, to welcome you into a deep relationship with him. And so today, if as I speak to you, the Lord is placing a finger on an area of your life today that you need to separate yourself from, I'm going to invite you at the end of this message to respond. But also know that we're here to journey with you. We are here to journey with you. You saw today this many people down the front in this house who love you and want to see God's best outworked in your life. Come talk to Mark or myself. Come talk to one of our eldership. Come talk to your Connect leader. And perhaps if you're not in a Connect, perhaps it's time for you to journey your life in your faith with others and get yourself along to one. Now is the time. Now is the time to break free from that sin and those things that restrict that flow in your life. The Lord is calling us in this season to put away those things in our lives that are not of him. It's time to break free of that sin that's restricting us and release the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, as Isaac moved and he dug that well called Rehoboth, he made this statement, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. And you know, as I read that, such an incredible picture of what God has done for all of us. No matter where we made room for all of us, no matter where we're from, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, God has made room for us. He's made room for you to come into relationship with him, to find him as your Lord and Savior, and to do life with him in a way that is fruitful and full of purpose and full of hope. The Bible tells us that humanity was separated from God because of the sin that had come into their lives, because of the sin that had come into their world. And since that time, many, many people have chosen to do their life apart from God, to live independent of him. But God is saying this through this scripture, he made room for you. And the way that he made room for you to come into relationship with him was through the death of his son, Jesus died. The Bible tells us that Jesus left heaven left his father's side, left an intimate relationship with his heavenly father and came to earth and lived as a man, allowed himself to be crucified on a cross, and then 3 days later rose again to life. So that no matter who you were, no matter where you came from, no matter what you did, or how much you had thrown God out of your life, how far away you'd separated yourself from him, he did that to make room for you. He did that to make a space for you to be able to come into relationship with him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.